Welcome back to Fork This with Intoxicate. I'm Intoxicate Kate Slunts, your host, serving up info to tantalize those taste buds every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com. Now, if you are looking to book your next night out, make sure to keep it locked right here, or for a personal recommendation, you can hit me up on Facebook or Instagram at Intoxicate Foodie. Of course, that's Intoxicate with a K.
I am very excited for my next guest. That is so fun. This is going to be a really great product. I can tell already. I've already had one of their products, but they're launching this amazing Kickstarter campaign to try out some new things. And on the line, we have Absinthia Vermouth and Jared Hirsch, who are the co-founders of Nickel Dime Cocktail Syrups. Guys, how are you?
Living the dream, Kate. How are you?
I am well. I'm going to admit it. I'm going to put it out there. I know we were going to keep it our little secret, but it's going to be like deja vu because we just had this amazing interview for 30 minutes. And of course, thanks to technology, lost it all. So we're doing it again. So it's going to be even greater this time. And I'm just going to let the listeners know already, you know, we've done the interview. I know how exciting this is. So I'm just going to be that much more enthusiastic and really push this because this is fantastic. So guys, tell me
Katie,
how you guys.
Katie, it's so good to know that you can't keep a secret.
No, listen, I'll tell you, the reason why I started Intoxicate was to talk about the things I'm passionate about. So it's all just going to happen. I just have to admit it. You know, it's in my first tech snafu in the 4 years I've been doing the show. So, of course, it has to happen with you guys. Well, you know, I apologize that it happens with you.
We have a very good friend of ours who has a slogan, and it's fail to win. And it's all about embracing your failures as the keys to your success.
Ah, I love that. I love that. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to start again with talking a little bit about how I heard about you guys. So I am a member of Lords Valley Country Club in the Poconos, and I know Jared's father, Steve Hirsch, and his mother, and they actually gave me a bottle of your first product, Caged Heat, to try, fell in love with it, mildly obsessed, have to say, and he tagged me in the Kickstarter video that you guys put together, and I immediately was like, all right, we got to make this happen, and sure enough, we did. And now we're doing it again. So tell me a little bit about Caged Heat.
Sure. I'm a bartender from Oakland, California, originally from New York, but I've made Oakland my home for the last 20 years. And about 4 or 5 years ago, I had put a cocktail on my menu at the restaurant that I manage called Caged Heat, which was a spicy whiskey sour. And there was a secret ingredient that I was using, which was a syrup that was made with tamarind, cardamom, and ghost peppers. And I put it on the menu at the bottom just as what I assumed would be a niche cocktail that people who liked spicy cocktails would find it. And I was wrong. By the end of the first week we had put it on the menu, it had doubled the sales of every other cocktail. And at some point, the sales kept growing and people kept ordering rounds of them. And then it got to the point that I couldn't make the syrup in the kitchen fast enough in large enough volumes. And I had people clamoring for the syrup once they found out they could make it at home themselves. And I was handing bottles out across the bar with just a piece of gaff tape and a Sharpie with the name on it. And that's when I called my friend Absinthia, who is an absinthe distiller, and asked her for some business advice.
You know, it's actually interesting because I, in the beginning, was one of those people that didn't want a spicy cocktail. It just didn't sound like something I would enjoy. And like you, Katie, I became obsessed with it. I mean, it is just so good. It's not, you know, you hear ghost pepper and it sounds scary. And then that's one of the reasons we put on our label, don't be afraid. Well, maybe just a little bit.
No, it's not too spicy. It doesn't paralyze the tongue like you would think a ghost pepper would.
Yeah, I'm interested in flavor. I'm not interested in hurting anybody. I'm not interested in creating the next stunt drink or the next fireball or anything like that. I was really interested in combining flavors to come up with new ideas to elevate cocktails beyond the basic, in this case, whiskey sour, and how to take that and make it a much more interesting, complex, and also inviting cocktail.
And what we're doing is we're creating three ingredient syrups that go in cocktails and mocktails. And we really want those three flavors to be, we want you to taste each one of them. So if the ghost pepper was painful or too spicy, you wouldn't be able to taste the tamarind and that cardamom.
Or the whiskey, for that matter.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit why you decided to do syrup.
Most of the great cocktails of the world follow the same formula. Two parts spirit, one part citrus, and we're talking mostly about lemon and lime, and one part sugar. So if you look at a margarita, it's two parts tequila, one part lime, and one part orange liqueur. If you're looking at a lemon drop, it's vodka, lemon, simple syrup. If you're looking at a gimlet, it's gin, lime, simple syrup. They all follow the same formula, 2-1-1. And when I had this product, when I had this cocktail on the menu and it was just killing it at the, you know, at the restaurant, people sort of clamoring for it, wanting to be the bottle, I said, this is something, this is really a need that a lot of people are looking for. They're looking for a solution to this of how do you take the idea of craft, of classic cocktails, these pre-prohibition era 1850s to 1930s cocktails that had become so popular, and how do we take it to the next step? And the next step was craft cocktails. And I know that the easiest way for somebody at home, a mixologist behind the bar or a home mixologist or somebody throwing a party, is I can make it really easy for them to elevate their cocktails by giving them the syrup composition, the sugar component. So if I can put all of the flavors into the syrup component and I can make them in large batches and consistently over time and make it like that, now I've given somebody access to the ability to make craft cocktails, not just classic cocktails.
I love it. And you blew my mind the first time you talked about it. And it's still crazy to me that this ratio is pretty similar across the board. And I also love the fact that you're kind of making these incredible cocktails really easy for people to make at home. And, you know, before in our interview, we were talking about your how your syrups are a little bit different because you're coming at it with this culinary approach. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. When I started off as a bartender in San Francisco right around the revolution of classic cocktails, this is about 15 years ago. And for me, I was really enjoying all of those. But it's when I realized that cocktails are food, that you could use the same ingredients that you would cook with in cocktails. That, for me, that was the lightning moment. That was when I said, ah, this is how I can take something and elevate it. This is how I can make it special. This is how I can make it unique. This is how I can make it different. And that's what I'm interested in. What interests me, I want to know what everything tastes like. That's what guides me and my selections when I go out to a bar or a restaurant or look at recipes or talk to other people, is I'm looking for what I haven't had yet. And so once I realized that the world of cocktails was, there was a burgeoning world of culinary ingredients that a lot of people hadn't looked to. They sort of see it as a different world, drinking and eating as different things. But when I realized that they're the same thing, I could then manipulate them like they're a recipe, like I'm making lasagna, like I'm, you know, like you take, like most people take a recipe and they look at it. A lot of people, I do for sure, take a recipe, look at it once, close the book, and then start cooking. That's how I approached the cocktails I was making, was let's take the idea of a whiskey sour, but how do we take that and then elevate it and make it more interesting and more accessible and more approachable? And that's where it came in.
So I work a little bit differently. I like to make a recipe straight from the book first, and then I experiment with it from there. And that's why we have one sort of flagship recipe on the bottle of on the label of each of our bottles. So you can go in and you can start with that bottle of caged heat and you can make that classic caged heat cocktail, which is essentially a bourbon sour. And then we also have the desert heat, which you simply swap out the bourbon for tequila and the lemon for lime. And so you switch it using, again, that same 2-1-1 ratio that Jared was just talking about to move from a bourbon sour to a spicy margarita.
You know, there's no reason you need to use our syrups to follow that advice. You know, you could use agave nectar or maple syrup or make your own simple syrups at home. By...
No, but you should use our syrup.
I was just going to say that. Thank you.
But to me, that's what I'm interested in. Is I'm interested in helping people make better cocktails. And yes, you can rely upon us to be that really interesting ingredient for it as well. But if I help people realize that there's a whole world out there that they have access to, and I was the reason that they got to that point, then I'm happy.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Jared, because you're in the restaurant industry, so you might have seen this kind of graduation happen, but do you think that people are becoming more interested in craft cocktails and restaurants are hiring and enlisting the help of mixologists more often because people are becoming more interested in their ingredients, in the food, and then that kind of translates to the bar? They want something that's going to pair well with everything. They're finding out more about what's in their cocktails. Do you think there's like a correlation there?
Oh, I wouldn't be in this business if that weren't the case. I didn't get into this business to be an entrepreneur. I had a product that told me that the world needed it. This is something that I've seen all over the place. In fact, there's a little bit of a crisis that's happening that we're also trying to help solve from the bar end. Every new restaurant concept, every new bar concept that's coming out, everybody is wanting to put craft and classic cocktails on their menu. So much so that the people who are expert at making those things are becoming harder and harder to find. It is a real challenge, myself included, to find new bartenders. If I have a bartender who leaves, finding a replacement bartender is the hardest part of my job. It's not making the cocktails. It's not coming up with the cocktails. It's not serving the cocktails or dealing with customers or all the rest. It's finding somebody that I can trust who can do all that stuff when I'm not there. And so we're seeing it everywhere. So one of our goals as a business is let's not just make these products for, you know, the home cocktail maker. Let's make it for, you know, the restaurant chain in Hartford, Connecticut, who has five restaurants that they're opening at once, and they only have one mixologist for all five restaurants. And so they need to be able to present craft cocktails to their customers because they want it. And I'm giving them the ability to make a three-ingredient drink that's actually six ingredients. So they're not spending 20 minutes making one drink with drips and drabs and an ounce of this and a quarter ounce of this and a leaf off of a tree. And I'm making that. I'm doing all that work for you because I know that I know how to do that. I'm just trying to get it out to as many people as possible and help move this revolution along because it's great. It's so much fun when you can go home and make somebody a cocktail and they go, wow, that's awesome. What a great moment that you created to make that happen.
Well, and when you go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's like having an Absinthia and a Jared in your pocket.
For $1,000, if you back our Kickstarter for $1,000, you could literally have us in your pocket. We will come to you and make cocktails.
That's right. That's right.
I love it.
And
one thing
that our syrup's also the problem that it solves is that when we make our batches, every bottle is the same. So if you make a syrup at home, the different ingredients will taste different in different batches when it's home made in your own pot on the kitchen like that. And so what we've done is we've made it so you can make a consistent six ingredient cocktail with three different bottles. The syrup, well, I'd say two bottles and a piece of fruit rather.
Yes.
The syrup, the citrus, and the booze.
Well, I'm also thinking too, you know, we're returning to all of these really cool things, you know, and I think it all started in the restaurant industry, but I think people are starting to host really cool cocktail parties now. People are hosting more dinner parties in the home. I'm a huge advocate of the return of the cocktail hour on a daily basis. I think it's really great that we have these tools available to us to kind of make it easier for those home cocktail enthusiasts or even the newbies and kind of everything in between. What's something that the average person wouldn't necessarily know about syrups that might kind of surprise them?
I don't know. My whole world is syrup. So for me, everything is, what don't people know about syrups that they need to know about?
You know, I think most syrups on the market, and there aren't many, are very basic. You have your simple syrups. They are not always made with real sugar. They can be corn syrup. They can be not great ingredients. Then you have your simple syrups, one ingredient. I think what our syrups are showing the world and can be a surprise to people is that we do a very well-balanced three-ingredient in a simple syrup so that when you're tasting it, you're not just tasting one ingredient and sugar. You have a well-balanced three-ingredient syrup that mixes really well in your cocktails and mocktails.
Well, I think the thing that kind of stood out to me is that you guys are doing these amazing flavor profiles that I think I would never find in a syrup. So that, for one, kind of blew my mind. And then just secondly, just the fact that it's just so easy for me to use. I know we talked about this before, but, you know, I think of the average person's home bar, I think they're all trying to kind of upgrade a little bit. So the average person's home bar has, you know, all of your spirits. And then has maybe juices and sodas. Like, they don't realize that it might be really super easy to pick up something like this and kind of batch make it at home in terms of if you want to make a really cool cocktail for a cocktail party or maybe something more, you know, expansive with more guests to be able to kind of mix it all ahead of time. It's so easy, but then you have this really amazing craft cocktail feel and taste.
Yes, and I think that's one of our goals as well. So when the cocktail revolution came about, people were rediscovering classic cocktails. They were moving away from, Cosmopolitans and rum and coke and moving into more of that classic pre-prohibition era cocktail. And what we want to do is determine and help the drinker and the cocktail enthusiast answer what's next. What are the new cocktails? And that's where our syrups fit in.
So we're doing three new flavors. We're about to launch three new syrups with our business. The first is going to be called Fairy Dust, which is a fennel, anise, and wormwood syrup, which is similar to the Absinthe Trinity without the alcohol of absinthe. Then we're going to do Cherry Bomb, which is cherry, coffee, and cacao. And then we're going to do Crimson Smoke, which is cranberry, honey, and Lapsang Souchong, which is a smoked Chinese tea. And those are all flavor combinations that just make sense to me and my brand. And hopefully people trust that I make good cocktails. So far, so good. Now it's just about getting the word out to everybody else who doesn't know me, who hasn't met me, who hasn't tried my, you know, award-winning cocktails. And just getting the word out beyond that so that we help people take that next step. That next evolutionary step in better drinking.
Can you say it again? Award-winning. I love to hear you say it.
Award-winning.
Well, we have to take a quick break. You're listening to Fork This with Intoxicate. Keep it locked right here at 1490 WGCH.